In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
He's a player that could be there. It could be in Buffalo, Rochester. Really, anything's on the table. So obviously, it's only been a little bit of time here since the draft. But draft was announced. Our pick was announced. But certainly, something we'll get into right away with his agent and start that conversation.
Welcome back to live draft coverage on WGR NHL Draft. That is, I'm Joe Calley here with Brayton Wilson. Evan DePasquale on the board, taking things from here as the draft chugs along. We're now into round five. Looks like six picks into round five. So we've got until pick 161. So, you know, we've got some time left here, Brayton. What do you think so far, just overall, just for the Sabres, I guess? Do you have a grade in mind for their picks and trades? Or is it tough to do that right
now? It's kind of tough to do that right now just because it's so tough to determine where these players from rounds 2 through 7 are going to go. If they had selected somebody, maybe like instead, you know, somebody that maybe had a first round grade or was thought to be a first round player with the 42nd pick, maybe the grade would be much higher. Adam Kleber, from what I've read and, you know, in the little research I've done since then, I'm looking forward to doing a little bit more after we're done here, but he seems like a solid defenseman. He moves around well, especially for 6'5 and 214 pounds. He's going to go to the University of Minnesota Duluth, which is a great collegiate program in college hockey. And it'll be interesting to see kind of where they project him going forward, especially on the right side, which is always great to have a plethora of right shot defensemen.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, they're going defense. They've already taken three defensemen here in the first four rounds of the draft. They don't have a pick here in the fifth round. So we've got a little bit of time between now and when they next pick at 172 in round six, which I believe is an the very first pick of the sixth round.
So we essentially have all of round six as well, like
right,
after that.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And then two picks in round seven?
Yes. Yeah, I believe that's right. Yeah, round seven, they have picks 204 and 219. And the 219 they acquired from Winnipeg in their trade down from 109 to 123, and they also got 219. So,
yeah,
really interesting to see where things go from here. I will admit that by this point, I don't really have much analysis to offer other than reading Elite Prospects and trusting what they've seen. I mean, Elite Prospects is maybe one of the better websites in terms of
pretty credible.
Yes,
yeah,
they've been pretty credible. Cam Robinson is one of the lead scouts there at Elite Prospects. You know,
yeah,
and they do a really nice job. They come up with their guides every year, and they provide a lot of good content on their website. So, for anybody that wants to check them out, feel free to do so, especially with any of the picks that the Sabres will make going forward. But
yeah, that's what we've gone to. As soon as picks go, we go right there. So.
Yeah, at this point, you know, we're kind of just seeing what's going on here.
Yeah,
going forward.
And as Brayton mentioned, we do have some time, so if you do want to get in on the phone lines, give us your thoughts on where the Sabres are. If you're frustrated, keep it clean to the because I know some people are out there.
I mean, we would love to take your phone calls in terms of what you feel, how you're feeling after, especially yesterday with them holding on to the pick rather than drafting, or holding on to the pick rather than trading the pick.
Yes.
What would you like to see happen this offseason in terms of, do you want to see them just immediately trade next year's first rounder, no questions asked? That's where I'm at. At this point, your goal is to make the Stanley Cup playoffs going forward. You shouldn't be even considering to hold on to next year's first round pick at this point. If your goal is to make the playoffs, you make that pick available next year in the first round without even a second thought in terms of just like, well, if we don't play well, we might pick like 14th next year again, or we might pick 10th.
All bets are your pick's not going to be great.
Trade the pick, get a good player, not a bottom six forward, but get a good player that maybe has to play bottom. Either way, just get a guy that's going to help the team immediately and maybe has a long-term future going forward with the organization. I just, at this point, there's no reason for you to stash this 2025 first-round pick if your goal is to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Just you make that trade, you get a player that can help immediately going forward, and then you worry about everything else later.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So if you don't have anything to say on that, give us a call, 803-0550, or tweet at us at WGR550 on Twitter. Or X, excuse me, Twitter.com, as we found out. I'm trying to link something, but
yeah.
So
Elon still can't figure it out.
Nope, not quite. But yeah, we'd like to know what you think. We got some time here, especially in round five and then round six, essentially, after they pick. It's a long time. So anything you want to say, but we will, we'll have some player sound coming up too. Draftee sound, I should say. Not a player on the team just yet, but we'll have some sound coming for you as well. This has been very interesting, though. As I mentioned before, it's my first NHL draft, like, sitting through it and watching the whole thing. And compared to the NFL draft coverage, which I was a part of as well, just, the digital things, it's very, very fast-paced.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like it, in a sense, for the viewership perspective.
I will admit,
it's over in 2 days, but it's quick.
I will admit, this year's draft has been a little slower than past year's draft. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're still here.
Where was the draft last year? Nashville. And, the pick started rolling in at around 11. Mind you, it's 10 o'clock there. And today they started drafting at 8:30 in the morning in Vegas. So a little earlier. But essentially, looking at where things go from here, there's been a lot of movement in the draft in terms of picks being moved. Not necessarily when it comes to... Sorry, had to move the one mouse over for Joe here to ruining my train of thought.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. There's been a lot of pick movement and a lot of teams wanting to move up and down. The Sabres have already done it twice today.
Yeah.
If not three times. My mind is kind of all over the place today. But other than that, there's been a couple of notable trades. Tanner Janot going to the Los Angeles Kings, Mikhail Sergachev going to Utah, John Marino going to Utah. I think the most recent trade, Jacob Lauko, goes to Minnesota in a trade from the Boston Bruins. Certainly an interesting day, maybe a little slower moving than years past, but we're in round five, and these picks, as long as they continue to just make these trades a little faster. We got another trade alert. So,
yeah. With the Panthers currently on the clock, we'll see who they switch out with.
Yeah, the Minnesota Wild most recently picked. Florida was on the clock, and now they're looking like they're trading out. This is just going to slow things down. But
yeah,
either
the trades have been taking up some time. Like, I've noticed
Seattle's
that.
Now on the clock.
Seattle's on the clock, yeah.
With the NHL draft, the picks usually go boom, 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 and it's nice. It's much better than the NFL draft. The NFL draft, they have to delegate to 3 days, and it's like, come on. You do not need 3 days to make all of these picks for football players, but it's a show for the NFL, and I guess I understand. But,
well, I guess the NHL is kind of moving to a similar format next year, right?
Yeah, and I worry about that.
You think they might elongate
it? I worry about that only because when you decentralize the draft, because the NHL is a centralized draft, all the teams go to a certain location.
Mm-hmm.
They have their staff. They have all their technology that they bring with them. Paul kind of explained this yesterday in a nice way, where it's just like everybody kind of brings everything, and then they kind of like, and some teams don't like that. Where I'm at with the NHL draft, though, is All the teams are there, though, so there's conversations happening. There's no need to, like, have to call to, like, a central number like the NFL does. So we're waiting for 6-7 minutes for each pick to go, even in the later rounds of the draft.
Yeah.
Like, this goes by fairly quick, and it's nice that it goes by fairly quick. There's no BS that happens with the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decentralize it like they're going to do next year, like they've talked about, and I think they've agreed to it, it might turn into a pandemic situation where the NHL draft during the pandemic, especially the day two, rounds 2 through 7, I think the 2020, it started at 11 a.m. and didn't end until 8 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was here in studio and in the newsroom all day for the 2020 draft, and it was excruciating. It was very awkward where it was like, Bill Daly was like, all right, we're going to go now send things over to whoever for the pick. And it's like, just make the announcement. Announce the pick, Bill Daly.
Yeah.
Just get it over with.
That is the worry. Like if, say, Kevin Adams is in Buffalo HQ, right? And he just, you know, we can now go to Kevin Adams. Who knows if there's a buffer, whatever's going on, or anything like that,
yeah,
too, you know?
If they're going
like to... That might just be asking for more issues than having everyone
if
there.
If they're going to do it like the NFL with decentralizing the draft so everybody can stay in their home base and have all that equipment there for them, Gary Bettman or Bill Daly better be ready to make the announcement of the picks. Do not be like the pandemic where it's just like, all right, we go now to Kevin Adams to make the first overall selection or whatever.
Be Goodell. Like, oh, that's what you need to do. You need to go out and
just
make the picks.
Just make the picks. Get this process going. If the draft picks are going to be there, it'll just allow them to go up, hey, you're going to get a picture here, and then it's like, oh, great, we're here, we're happy to have you come back, you know, to Buffalo, get to know the city, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I like the way they do the draft. I don't necessarily like the idea of decentralizing it, but I guess it kind of makes sense in terms of logistics and everything like that.
I mean, we shall see. But we asked to hear from you, so let's get to the phones here. Mark and Kenmore, you're up first. You're on the air. What are your thoughts on this draft so far?
Uneventful. I think that I'm not surprised that the Buffalo Sabres kept their pick. To what I hear, apparently he may have a shot at Buffalo, Rochester, or it goes back to Finland. We'll find out. But it looks like he could have a shot with this team. But their inability to make a major trade, well, the draft right now, you know, the NHL seems very conservative to me. General managers just don't want to give anything up. And I wonder if Adams comes away empty-handed, and let's say as it continues beyond the July 1st free agency, I mean, what are you supposed to do if the other general managers just want to sit on their hands and just keep what they have? Is that a fireable offense that your counterparts don't want to do anything and you just, I can't do anything? You know, I got some ammunition to trade, but nobody wants to budge. I mean, I'm just saying, I think they need to pull off a move to get a good top six forward. The player they got from Washington, as long as he's better than Jost or Robinson, that's a start, because that bottom six of the Sabres is awful. So we'll have to see what happens. So, but I think Monday might tell a little more, because free agency starts. We'll see.
Right, and at that point, too, on Monday, we'll also probably likely know the future of Jeff Skinner as well in terms of whether or not they actually buy out his contract or not. I seem to get the sense that they're probably going to try to buy out the contract to save as much money as they can. They'll do everything and exhaust every power to try and trade Jeff Skinner and have to try to retain something.
Yeah.
I think
that frees up some money, though, to actually go make a move and find his replacement as well.
I think Marty and Brian on Sabres Live was doing the math on Thursday with a potential Jeff Skinner buyout, and like the difference between buying him out and trying to trade him and retain salary is like $1 million in the whole larger scope of things, which isn't necessarily a huge thing.
No.
Either way they go, I think Kevin Adams essentially is thinking, if I could trade Skinner, get any sort of value back while retaining salary if I have to, then, I mean, he's going to probably ask a team, if I'm retaining salary, it has to be 50%. Like, it has to be half of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think any team is going to want to do that. And I think that's where the selling point is for Jeff Skinner in terms of his future, is if no team is willing to take, to accept a 50% retain rate for Jeff Skinner,
yeah,
the Sabres won't take, they, or Yeah, the Sabres won't take 25%. They need it to be...
It's got to be a considerable margin for them to be interested in it. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like second-guessing my thought here with in terms of money and retaining and math, no. Because I'm not good at math.
I don't do math apologies. In public for that purpose, you know?
But a team will have to take a large chunk of Jeff Skinner's contract in order to make it work.
Yeah, it's like the Stephon Diggs situation, right?
Right.
Like the Bills don't have to pay after this year.
Yeah.
And that would have been a huge reason not to do that, but the Texans ate a lot of that.
Yeah,
so.
I don't see any team wanting to take that large of a contract for three years, even if he's got a no movement clause as well. So Jeff Skinner, if the Sabres have a trade with San Jose or they have a trade with a team that's just not good, mm-hmm. Jeff Skinner's gonna he's not gonna take a trade like that.
No.
If it's to Toronto, where that's his hometown, potentially.
And they make the playoffs and things along those lines,
but he could easily just hit free agency and sign with Toronto if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Jeff Skinner, I think at this point, probably would say no to any of those situations unless it's the right situation, which I don't know. I don't know if that's possible.
He's just, the issue with Skinner is he was brought on up to the team as a one-dimensional player, but he scored goals. Like, that was his whole trademark, right?
Right.
And the whole team regressed last season. I'm not saying it was just Skinner, but he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing and scoring goals. So, and he's been so hot and cold over the years, too.
And that's goal scorers in the NHL.
Yes.
The goal scorers in the NHL today are such streaky players where they'll go on a hot streak, they'll score a ton of goals, and then when they don't score for long stretches. But then when they score for long stretches. It's a constant back and forth with goal scorers. We saw it with Thomas Vanek. We saw it with Jeff Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant trend. And that's why I think that Kevin Adams has done a nice job in terms of building the prospect line, of bringing in prospects that are a little bit of everything. They bring a little bit of every tool to their game that you hope when they all come together and play it in one team, whether it be Rochester or Buffalo, they'll gel, they'll work with each other, they'll complement one another. One player, maybe a scorer, but can play a nice two-way game while the other guy's a setup guy or, you know, power forward. It doesn't really matter. That's what I like about the Konsta Hlinish pick, is that he is that type of player that the highlight reels, he shows some skill, but like skill is not his style of play. He is the two-way centerman. He is the guy that does all the little things right and does it to a T and is very, very good in terms of his all-around game. And that's why I think Konsta Hlinish is a very, very good pick for the Sabres. And that's why I was so high on him, and all the people that want to say, oh, well, there's no need for them to make all these picks. They need to just trade. Konsta Hlinish was that guy that if he was there at 14, you run to the podium and you take him there because he is clearly best player available. That was their approach with this pick, especially when Kevin Adams said there was no route for a trade. You just take best player available. He was that guy there at 14.
Yeah, and I mean, all afternoon, you were on with Mike Shope yesterday. Konsta Hlinish was the name for both of you.
Yeah.
So I was a big fan of it, but we do have Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline in Vegas, in the chaos sphere, as Derek Kramer labeled it. Paul, how are things going on down there?
That was a good label. Kurt, doing great. Had a little break here where I could come on with you after they had a couple of fourth-round picks and a trade there. I'm sure you guys may have brought this up, but it's something I was thinking about when we were talking about earlier about, you know, defenseman fine, but, you know, the Tanner Jeannot thing was the one that stuck out at me. And then I kind of looked it up and thought about it for a minute. And it's not the age of 27. He only has one more year before he goes to unrestricted free agency. And that might have been a problem there. Who knows if he could have said, you know what, I'm going to go to unrestricted free agency, and you're like, well, okay, then that's probably not a good thing to do. So that could be a bit of a stumbling block there, even though that's the perfect player that we're thinking of when we're talking about bottom six and those types of things. So that was the one thing I wanted to bring up, and as I said, you guys may have already brought that up, that, you know, he's just a year away from the unrestricted free agency, and that wasn't a huge price that Los Angeles paid. And it's like, well, you didn't pay a huge price. If he goes, he goes. And I suppose you could look at it that way. And you can also, if he tells you he's not going to re-sign with you, you can also turn it around too.
Paul, I think we've forgotten to mention this whole time, going back to the Beck-Malenstein trade. Malenstein's a pending restricted free agent. He's not under contract right now. At least that's it in – I think that's what – I'm just trying to look this up real quick on what we can see with Cap Friendly still.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll qualify him in the coming days here. I did ask Kevin Adams about all the restricted guys. He didn't want to really get into it. All he said is, he goes, I don't think you will see any surprises.
Right.
And he goes, I don't think anything will surprise you when we get to that. He goes, quite honestly, he goes, I haven't talked to all the players yet. So
I'm just curious in terms of what he would maybe be eligible to get. I'm not sure if you have those numbers on hand, Paul, in terms of what a qualifying offer would give for Beck-Malenstein, but I can't imagine it would be anything largely substantial, right?
Yep, I think I have to. Oh, yep, he's there. I thought it was the page I pulled up before they got him. His qualifying offer would be. Oh, that's not 100. $813,750.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. That's completely fine. A cheap option. I'm fine with that, honestly, when looking at it going forward with Beck-Malenstein, just because they got to be able to – I know that they've got a decent amount of cap space already as it is heading into the offseason, but even then, if they want to still be active or try to trade for a nice piece that they can utilize long-term, they've still got to be able to have that cap flexibility in order to make all these moves, in order to put them in a spot where the ultimate goal of this upcoming season is to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I want to warn people, too. I know it's been out there, even from some media people. They better spend all $31 million that they have, all the way up to the cap. And you have to keep in mind that you don't have to do it. You can do it this year, but it wouldn't count against the cap this year. But you do have some guys to sign yet who you want to be part of your core. Jack Quinn, J.J. Paterka, Byram, and Levi. You know, not this year, but next year, you've got to have them re-sign. So you can't use all the cap space unless they're one-year contracts. If they're one-year contracts, that's different.
Right.
But if you have to keep in mind that there are still pieces of the core that need to be signed.
Paul Hamilton joining us here on the Wester Hotline here on WGR Live from the Sphere in Las Vegas, as we're in round five of the NHL draft, approaching the later portions of round five. Boston on the clock at pick 154. Another trade has come in league-wide. This one does involve a player. The Vegas Golden Knights, after trading away Logan Thompson to the Washington Capitals earlier in the day, has acquired Akira Schmid from the New Jersey Devils.
Okay.
So another goaltender trade. When people say they cannot trade goaltenders around the league, they're making goaltender trades, Paul.
You know what? I am very, very impressed with the kind of person Thompson must be. He was scheduled for an autograph signing here, got traded, and he showed up.
Wow,
we were talking about that. With a smile on his face, signing autographs for kids. I am very impressed, because there are some people who would just say, you know what, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I'm very impressed that he's there signing autographs.
Yeah, we were talking about that in one of the breaks, if he would actually end up showing up or not. That's awesome.
Quite the character guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a picture. Somebody sent out a photo of him signing the autographs with a smile on his face, and I like it. We as media don't talk about the positives enough when you see that from players.
All right, Paul. Well, we are five picks into the Sabres draft class overall, and we're waiting for their pick at 172 in round six. So far, of those five picks, three of them have been defensemen, two of them right-shot defensemen. What do you make of that strategy going forward here for the Sabres? I know that right-shot defensemen are a really nice get for any NHL team, especially if you hit on one that develops correctly. But defense, that's one area where I think the Sabres in the prospect pipeline could afford to stock up a little bit going forward into the future.
Yeah, I love the two Russian kids that are going to be in Rochester next year. You got Ryan Johnson. You got the kid at Michigan State, who was a second-round pick last year. You got the kid from Clarence Center, McCarthy, who was a third-round pick, who was also in college. But, you know, you've got what you said, and one of them, 6'5", I believe, that they got. So they've added a little bit more size to the only thing about now is, and Brayton, you know this well, but being around the draft as long as you have been, what you need now isn't necessarily what you need in 3-4 years from now. So, Buffalo could use X player or bigger player or, you know, that type of a thing. And that's why they talk about best available player. Very often, it's pretty much the best available player within maybe you got two or three to choose from. But that's the thing, too, because when you're drafting 18-year-olds, a lot of the time it's going to be 3-4 years down the road. It's like, what are you going to need then, you know, when that happens? So you've got those four defensemen or five defensemen that I mentioned. But, I'd like to see the size. And they've been doing that with the size recently anyway. Isn't Strabak, I believe, he's around 6'3", if I'm remembering correctly?
Yeah, Strabak is right up there. And in Slovakian pipe player, he was kind of tantalizing when they took him. And then this year in Michigan State in his first year, he seemed like he continued that nice progression with his development well.
Yeah, so that's good to see. And you know, Komarov, he was second in the league in penalty minutes. He's not afraid to get in the middle of things. And Novikov, I think it showed some physicality in Rochester. Neither one are ready for the National Hockey League this year, but you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if both wound up in the National Hockey League as you know, pretty good defensemen along the way. And I've been impressed with what I've seen with at least one of them. And the other one I saw a little bit in development camp. He was hurt for one of them, but he played the other. And you know, he needs to work on his skating, no question, because I was watching for that in the Memorial Cup. And you could tell that, and he can work on that. That's not something that you can't work on. But he has a lot of good things that I think the Sabres can use.
Well, Paul, thanks for helping us kill some time here as we wait for the Sabres' next pick at 172. And maybe we'll get a chance to check in with you a little bit later on.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right, Paul Hamilton joining us from the Sphere in Las Vegas. And some more details have come out on that trade between Vegas and New Jersey. So the Devils are acquiring forward Paul Cotter and Vegas' third rounder in 2025 in exchange for former first-round pick Alexander Holtz and goaltender Akira Schmid. So the decent trade there.
Yeah, and honestly, I love hearing from Paul. I love hearing the environment of the Sphere. We also get the little precursor if we hear the trade horn and things along those lines. But we did talk with Paul on the Western Hotline. We also got connected to our fans. Mark, thank you for the call. Getting connected to our fans is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
So when we come back, do you want to hear from Brody Zimmer?
Oh, I'm all right. For hearing from the
prospects. We'll do that when we come back. Brody Zimmer, who was Buffalo's third-round pick, we'll play back his audio with the interview that he had with Paul and the rest of the media down at down in Vegas.
Yeah, sounds good with me. You're listening to coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR. We'll be right back with more. As you heard, you're going to hear some audio on the other side. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back to live NHL draft coverage. We just breached the sixth round. Joe Calley here along with Brayton Wilson.
Coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR is brought to you by Fiegel Car & Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods. Dash's Market. Well, you heard before the break, if you were with us, we're going to hear from Brody Zimmer, recently drafted by the Buffalo Sabres in the second round. And we're going to go to that audio now. Evan, we ready? Sounds good. Here's Brody Zimmer.
Yeah, obviously the combine was in Buffalo. They've got some really good players, Dylan Cousins, Tage Thompson, Zach Benson, some really good young guys. So really excited to be a part of this organization.
What are you feeling right now? How excited are you? Explain it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is kind of a dream growing up as a kid, and for it to come real super special for me and my family. So just kind of soaking it all in.
How would you describe your approach as a player?
Yeah, I think just taking it day by day, you know, trying to put your best foot forward each day and, you know, not looking too far ahead.
Who are the NHL players that you sort of model your game after?
Yeah, I think Tyler Toffoli's someone that I like to model my game after, the way he kind of uses his hockey sense to play a little bit faster.
Which of your skills do you think is the best in the NHL?
Yeah, I'd say my hockey sense. You know, I'm still trying to become a better skater, and with my hockey sense, it allows me to play a little bit faster than I really am.
Congratulations. You played the last 2 years in the USHL with the NTDP. What makes the USHL so special for guys who are looking to develop those skills like skating and getting faster?
Yeah, it's a really great league. There's a lot of high-end talent, and it's really competitive. So, I mean, especially, you know, I was at the program, and, you know, you're playing against guys 2-3 years older than you. It's really good, and, you know, it's really competitive, like I said.
How have you developed your leadership style, and I guess how do you kind of model it, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm a big lead by example guy, but this year I kind of wanted to become more vocal, and that's something I really worked on.
What are the areas of the game that you want to improve on with Minnesota?
Yeah, I think obviously everywhere you can keep getting better, but skating's a big one for me. I think that's going to help me really excel.
How have you tried to improve your skating, I guess?
Yeah, just doing skating lessons, spending a lot of time in the gym, getting stronger and faster.
Did you choose Minnesota? Obviously, it's a very noted
program. Yeah, I'm from Minnesota originally, so you know, growing up as a kid, you watch a lot of those games, and you know, it's just another dream for me. So.
You got to know Bob Lasco.
Yep, great guy. You know, that's another reason why I chose the Gophers. They have a great coaching staff, so I'm excited to go there next year.
How does the program change you just as a, you know, a young man? I mean, it does. I mean, it's intensive, and it changes. So what did it do for you?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I gained a bunch of weight. You know, I became more of a man, I'd say. And just like I said, playing in the USHL, it's hard playing up, and, you know, you learn a ton about yourself. So.
That was Brody Zimmer. Heard him there. Gained a bunch of weight. He says he became more of a man, so it's I love hearing from these guys. I mean, they're younger than I am at this point. I've hit that threshold, so it's a little odd. to be honest. But now,
just you wait till like the NFL comes around, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I could have gone to college with these guys. Or,
oh yeah, I mean, I'm
older than these guys. I mean, I'm not going to try and say I'm old because I'm not. But, you know.
You hit that threshold at one point. But we are in round 6 of the NHL draft.
I'm old.
Yeah?
I'm 32, but...
You don't look a day over 19, Braden. Come on.
Stop. I'm losing my hair.
Like you could
shave my head
in the NHL draft right
now.
Come on.
No, my draft class would have been the Taylor Hall class of 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
My draft class...
That makes me feel old because those guys are now hitting, you know, 32 and 33, and it's...
Who was 4 years ago?
4 years ago would have been 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You would have been the part of the pandemic class. That
yep.
would have been Alexi Lafreniere, Quentin Byfield. Yeah, good times.
Yeah, the pandemic draft.
Yeah.
The Anaheim Ducks are on the clock right now at 164. When did the Sabres pick? What
172, so 172. They'll be up here in 8 picks.
Yeah, we're getting closer.
Getting closer.
Inching our way there. It is moving quicker now. Round 5 kind of breezed by a little bit. Round 6, it's a little slow, but normally, I mean, from what we've learned today, when the teams are sitting on the clock, it normally means trades are attempting to be made. So we'll see if they actually end up picking here or not. It's just, I don't know. Hearing from Paul Hamilton,
how it is down there. I've never been to Vegas, but do you think they keep the draft in Vegas, or are you gonna, they're going to keep moving it around, you think?
I think they'll keep moving it around, but it'll be more so of they might go for similar venues like the Sphere, or, you know, they won't go for these. They probably won't go for the arena environments just because the arena environments were really set for these centralized drafts. Whereas if you're going to decentralize, you don't need all of that space. It's not like the NFL draft where it's going to attract this massive amount of people into one location for a single night or the next day.
Really, the entirety of the NFL draft, people are packed there.
You could eventually do something in the realm of what they used to do in New York, where they, what was it,
Radio City?
Yeah, Radio City Music Hall. You could technically go there. You could go there, have the draft there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big enough venue where you have the prospects all kind of in the green room, and then you have the fans, and that's really all you need. And if they did that going forward at some of these locations, they don't need massive giant spaces like the NFL, because they're not going to attract, you know, the 775,000 people that Detroit attracted over a 3-day period.
Yeah.
Well, they might get people to come, you know, for round one, be there. But other than that, they don't need large spaces. Mm-hmm. The Sphere is probably as big as it will get going forward.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you set the bar pretty high. That's like
But let's just hypothetically say that the NHL loves this, and all of a sudden the teams are just like, no, let's do this every year.
Yeah.
Let's come to the Sphere. Let's have the event here, and we'll come. We'll be centralized again, which I don't think they're going to do. But if they did that, I would be so happy. I would be so much better.
Well, this is like the venue of venues to do something like this. So it only...
I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen anything inside the Sphere, and it looks beautiful.
I saw videos of like a U2 concert in there, and it was crazy.
It might hurt my head, though, because like you're like trying to look up, and it's like, oh, God, my neck.
Yeah.
Why? Why did they do this?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We're chugging along, though.
Yeah, we are. We're at pick 166 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Woolley went to the Kings. I quickly looked to see if he was the son of Jason Woolley.
Is he?
And I'm double checking because I don't think he was. But I briefly looked at it. He's not.
Okay.
No relation, actually.
All right.
So.
He's not. No relation.
That's at least according to Elite Prospects.
Okay.
A lot of the information that we are giving to people at this time is all coming from Elite Prospects. So, that's essentially the crux of everything here going forward. We're here until the draft ends and until Kevin Adams comes up to the podium and speaks for the last time at the draft before they all come back to Buffalo for the free agency period to open on Monday.
We're here for that.
We are here for that, by the way. We are going to be doing coverage of NHL free agency on Monday as well. We'll be here, I think 12 to 1 is Sabres Live, and then 1 to 3 will be Josh and myself taking you through the coverage all the way up to 3 o'clock with Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
And they'll assuming they're going to continue.
I'm guessing they'll continue.
Well, especially if there's breaking news or anything like that, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, you know.
Well, that's what a lot of people are pegging.
Free agency period is such a stupid season. It's so ridiculous that the wild contracts that get signed at free agency. You think the NFL is bad? The NHL is probably just as bad.
Yeah,
with some of these contracts.
As you know, and probably everyone listening knows, I'm more. Oh, Buffalo's up in the on deck circle down there. You can see they're more like they're in the hole.
Not even in the hole. They're fourth in line.
Yeah,
I don't even know if there is a term for fourth in line.
On deck in the hole. I don't know. I don't know if I can pull that off right now. But yeah, we're nearing them. And then we wait until the end of round 6, and they have 2 in round 7. So just chugging along. I don't know.
That we are. And we're continuing to be open to taking your phone calls. If you're managing to still listen to us as we await these picks to come in and provide you some analysis that we're pretty much taking from
another
site that is much more knowledgeable in these prospects. 803-0550 if you want to join us here. Give us your thoughts in terms of where you think the Sabres kind of go from here, what you think about the Sabres keeping the first round pick last night and using that to select Konstantin Helenius. you're more than welcome to join us. What you want to see going forward? Do you want to see the Sabres trading their next first rounder immediately? Free agents, yeah. trade pieces you would like to see.
Skinner's buyout.
Are you still wanting to see Marty Natchez, Nikolai Ehlers potentially being options for the Sabres? Feel free to annoy us today if you want. You could berate us. It'll just be clean about it. 803-0550 as we carry you through here. Again, we're going to be here until the Sabres get their final pick in, until we hear from Kevin Adams at the end of the draft. Buffalo's last pick comes at pick 219. Florida right now is on the clock. Actually, now it's now the Sabres are officially in the hole at 172.
Yes.
So we'll keep it here until they make that pick. We'll bring you that pick, then we'll go to break.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'm excited. I don't know what they're going to... They've been going defense pretty much.
A lot of defense.
So...
A lot of defense.
I don't mind that, though, because their prospect pool is a lot of forwards. That's just, like, what it was.
Yeah, so. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but it balances it out a little bit, which is nice, you know?
I am interested to see if they're going to take a goaltender this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they took Scott Retzlav last year, if my memory serves me correct. And from there, you know, they don't necessarily... I mean, they have Topias Lainen, who they took a couple years back, who hasn't necessarily panned out. So they could utilize another goaltender if they really want to.
Yeah,
to take the opportunity.
No, 100%. And you know, you have Levi and Luukkonen, right? Mm-hmm. You don't really have anything outside of that. Free agency might unlock that possibility for you. You might get a veteran goaltender in the room. But the way Luukkonen played, that's a question in itself. The way Luukkonen played last season. Oh, so, the Sabres are on the clock right now, actually. Those last two picks came pretty quick.
They came very quick. Yeah. Again, these are the nice areas where it's just like boom, 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 boom. Picks are coming nice and fast, especially in the sixth and seventh round, because I don't think any of these scouts or front office personnel really want to be hanging around much longer.
No. They want to be getting their plane ride home.
Or they want to hit the strip.
Yeah.
They want to go hit the strip and do something fun in Vegas before the weekend is over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sabres on the clock. We're awaiting their pick. The Devils recently picked. Matias Melovski is their pick. Hunter Lang went to Calgary, another center. So we'll see what the Sabres do here.
Yeah, maybe they try and trade it.
Maybe they'll go another defense. But I mean, at this point, what are you going to get? A sixth-round pick next year.
Picked defenseman. Patrick
Geary.
Related to Nate Geary? Is that a thing?
I highly doubt that. Patrick Geary. I'm bringing up his prospect profile very quickly. Patrick Geary is actually an overager. Now I have questions. I might have to text Nate because Patrick Geary, 20 years old, played at Michigan State. He just finished up his freshman year, but... Junior Sabre.
And his hometown's Hamburg. Buffalo. That's crazy. Might have to send a text out.
Yeah, I'm going to do that while we're in break. You want to send us to break or do you want to take Nick?
I'm
going
to take Nick. We're going to get connected to our fans. We're going to take Nick here. Nick, what do you think about this draft so far or what the Sabres are going to be doing moving forward?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, I wasn't too happy about the first round pick. Really don't know nothing about the kid. He's a little small, but size means nothing. Really happy about the second round. Guy was pretty beefy. Going to a good program. I'm just curious if we're going to actually spend some money and get to the top of the cap, or if we're still just going to sit at the bottom of the floor. It's really disheartening when you don't spend all the money you're allowed to, and then the team tries to tell you that they're really trying, you know?
Yeah, Nick, thanks for the call. I can see that. Paul Hamilton was just on with us talking about the cap and, you know, what's going to happen with it. If they don't spend all they're allotted to, I don't know, Brayton, what do you think about that? Just the cap in general, they have $31 million, correct? Is that kind of what they have?
I think so.
Something like that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I got to double check that just because I have not necessarily been, like, super active in terms of looking at cap friendly and getting those numbers. I'm looking here. So their projected cap space right now is $22.7 million.
If you buy out Skinner, that adds seven, I think, or something along those lines. So that might put you up to that.
If that happens, that would be right up there.
Yeah.
And I texted Nate I asked him, are you related to a Patrick Geary from Hamburg, played at Michigan State? He said, yes, that's my cousin's son.
No way.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Back in Buffalo, too.
Yeah.
With the home team. But, oh, man. Nick, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
I understand the frustration with the salary cap. I really do. You know, not using it all, thinking that if you did, you might get something more to put the team. If the goal is to make the playoffs, you want to see the team use every asset they can to get everything possible to get them there. I think they have a plan for free agency. I think that's where you're going to see a lot of the cap be used. And they do have to re-sign a couple guys, but I know Paul was mentioning that doesn't hit this year's cap. That would be next year's cap, if anything. So I think wait for free agency and then kind of, I guess, see
so,
what you're thinking.
So before we throw things off to break, I know the whole clock has been thrown
off.
It's
fine. It's good.
Patrick Geary, 6'1", 185 pounds, 20-year-old, obviously from Hamburg, a former Buffalo Junior Sabre. He finished up his freshman year at Michigan State University. 5 goals, 8 assists, 13 points in 32 games played. And Elite Prospect says, quote, the Hamburg, New York-born defenseman closes on opponents early, sets up a tight gap, surfs inside out, takes away the center lane with his stick, and then closes on the puck carrier with force. Geary scans dutifully off the puck, makes the right read more often than not, and when you need someone to step up and get a stop on the cycle, he's your guy. So more so a defensive defenseman, another left shot defenseman, though. So the Sabres have split their picks with defensemen this year.
Yeah.
2 right shot. 2 left shot, and then, of course, they took Konsta Hellenius with the first pick in 14th overall, and then they also took Brody Zimer, right winger.
So. Well, when we were texting Nate to look for this relation, if you look at this photo, it kind of like resembles him a tiny bit, side profile-wise, where I was like, you know what, they don't look super alike, but there's a little bit of a... That's just funny.
And there's the tweet from the Sabres... hometown kid, we've selected Patrick Geary with the 172nd overall pick. Very, very cool for Nate and his family as well.
How amazing is that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Honestly, it seems like I broke the news to Nate too, because he said, yeah, that's my cousin's son. Did he get drafted? And I said, by the Sabres. And he hasn't responded yet, so I'm kind of eager to see what Nate's response is.
That's amazing.
That is awesome.
Oh,
that is really, really cool.
Yeah. With that,
not to intrude on like Nate's like personal life, but at the same point, it's just like out of curiosity, just like hey,
not a lot of last names Geary out there. Like I don't, you know, like,
right.
It's not a very common last name.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then you see he's from Buffalo. It's got to be.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, 100%.
All right, we blew up the clock. We're gonna take a quick timeout here. It'll be an in and out, and then back to break for the next hour. We Evan, we have player audio, right? All right, we've got some more coming your way, probably at the top of the hour. So stay tuned. You're listening to coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR. Keep it here. Welcome back to Draft Coverage on WGR, NHL Draft Coverage. I'm Joe Calley, still joined by Brayton Wilson. We're over halfway through round 6. Blew up the clock, so we got to take another timeout here. But before we do that, just want to make the sponsors happy here. Coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market. We'll have some player sound coming up for you at the top of the hour here. And more of your phone calls are always welcome. 803-0550 or on Twitter at WGR550. Just let us know what you're thinking at this point in the draft as we are trying to get into round 7 to see the Sabres close it out here. So without further ado, we're going to take a timeout here. You are listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.